The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
For those of you that are visiting, I do teach the majority of the Sundays, but I'm in the midst of weddings and graduations and all kinds of stuff. My oldest daughter just got married on Friday, and so Pastor David is going to be teaching us this morning. So let me pray for you, David. Come on up, and then we'll be led in the word through David. God, thank you so much for David and his ministry here at Hope Hill and his ministry in this community. I pray that you bless him and give him the words you want us to share this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. Thank you, David. Pastor John. Well, what a great, deep thrill and honor it is to be here celebrating with you this Sunday. I celebrate with you every week, but to be able to share the word with you this morning is a great honor. As you know, we are in the middle of the Memorial Day weekend, a time in which we honor our servicemen and women, especially those who have given their life in the defense of freedom. The first Memorial Day was declared in May 30th, 1868, as a way to honor those who had given their lives at that time, specifically during the Civil War. We actually honor our heroes two times a year. In May, we have a Memorial Day, which actually honors those who have given their lives. And then in November, we have Veterans Day, a day in which we honor all of those who have served. You know, there are many ways to honor those who have served and those who have given their life. And I think that one of the ways we can honor them is by learning lessons from the past. And I especially want to emphasize that for those of us who are Christians, that we would be reminded of the words of Jesus in which he calls us all to be peacemakers. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We recognize that we can't always have peace. Sometimes conflict is forced upon us, but the conflict should not be the first option. Our first option as Christians is to be peacemakers and to try to lead the world in peace. So our prayer today is that we would have peace. We pray for the peace of our nation. We pray for the peace within our homes, within our schools, and that we would be leaders in the cause of peace. Would you stand with me just for a moment as we pray for those who have served, those who have given their lives, and those who continue to serve? Heavenly Father, in a very special way today, we thank you, and we want to honor those who have given, those who have sacrificed, those who have given their lives, and those who have paid terrible prices in many other ways, many tragically wounded that will carry the wounds and the scars for the remaining days of their lives, for their families, for their children who have suffered along with them. Lord, we give you thanks for their bravery, for their courage, for their willingness to sacrifice and to serve. We praise you also, Lord, for those who continue to serve, especially those who are deployed and in harm's way even today, and for their families. We pray also, Lord, for our great nation, for our president, for the members of his cabinet and staff, for our military leaders. We pray, O God, that you would give them an extra measure of wisdom, of divine grace, and if possible, a measure of humility. God, we need you in our midst. We need you to lead us and to guide us. Help us to surrender our own personal pride and agendas and to follow after peace and to seek your will. Guide us today as a nation and guide us as the people of God, that we would shine forth as beacons of light to show forth the glory of your gospel to our world around us. Again, we thank you and give you praise and ask your blessings upon our families, our homes, and our military men and women. Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I want to share a scripture with you from the life of Abraham and his journey in life. Actually, I want to talk to you about your life and your journey, but Abraham will be a good starting point. Do we have the first slide, please? So this is God's call to Abraham in Genesis 12. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And then if we could go right to the next slide. So Genesis gives us the beginning of the story. And then the writer to the Hebrews clarifies one important point in the story. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham had a comfortable life in Midian. He and his wife Sarah were wealthy by the standards of those days. He had lots of cattle, lots of sheep, lots of oxen. He had lots of hired hands. They lived a very affluent life for that day, and life was good. But then one day, God began to speak to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I want you to move from here and to go to a land where I will show you. And Hebrews says, and Abraham packed up and left without knowing exactly where he was going. Abraham was 75 years old when he got that call. Now, most of us think that at age 75, you're pretty much in your sunset years, your retirement years. You have your house exactly the way you want it. Everything's laid out. Everything's working for you. And you don't expect major changes to take place at that point in life. I've often tried to imagine Abraham's conversation with his wife, Sarah. Conversation might have gone something like this. Sarah, I think God's been talking to me. And she says, oh, yeah? So what's this all about? What did God say to you? Abram says, I think God is telling me that we need to move. Oh, really? You know, I've spent a lot of time getting the house fixed up exactly the way I want it. For so many years, we didn't have a nice house. Now we've got the home, we've got everything around us, family and friends, and everything has gone pretty much as we want it. And you think God is telling us to move? Abraham, are you sure this is God speaking to you? You know, that's always the big question. When we start getting these radical thoughts, the first question that comes in, is that really God or is it just me? What's this all about? And then quickly she moves on to the second question, and she says, where exactly did God say we should move? And Abraham scratches and he says, honestly, I don't know. Abram, what do you mean you don't know? Well, God said to move to a land that I will show you in the future. I will show you. I don't know exactly where it is. Okay, so let me see if I understand this, Abraham. God said that we're supposed to give up everything that we've got, pack all of our belongings on the back of a donkey cart or an ox cart, and we're supposed to move, and you don't know where. I'm trying to understand this. I'm trying to work with you, but there are some details here that I'd kind of like to know, and you're not helping me very much. God calls us to walk by faith. And sometimes the details as to how we are to do that become just a little bit sketchy. Sarah was a very godly woman, and so eventually they both agreed, and they both left. Left everything they had, and they started their journey. Sometimes the walk of faith begins just that way. We're out trying to follow God. We don't know for sure where he's leading or where we're going to end up. The turning points of life seldom go as planned. There will be surprises along the way. Every life is somewhat unique and somewhat different. But what we have in common is that even though we're on different roads, traveling in somewhat different directions, one thing we can be sure of is that life will not go exactly as we've planned. There will be some turning points. There will be some surprises along the way. Some good and some not so good. But one thing for sure, life will not be just as you and just as I have planned it. John Kavanaugh knew that he was called to ministry, but he wasn't sure exactly what that would look like and what God was calling him to do. So in 1975, John Kavanaugh got on a plane and went to Calcutta, India. And he spent a year with Mother Teresa, working with her in her orphanages and in her homes of caring for the destitute and the very poor in India. Mother Teresa knew that John Kavanaugh actually came from a very wealthy family, and she knew that he had already made some sacrifices to go into ministry, but she was curious why this young man from the United States would travel all the way to India to spend a year in Calcutta. And she asked John Kavanaugh, exactly what are you looking for? What do you hope to get out of this? John said, I know that God is calling me to ministry, perhaps to a deeper level of ministry that I've known, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure this is God. I'm not sure what God is saying to me. He said, so I guess I've come here looking for certainty. Mother Teresa laughed. She said, John, I have never had certainty myself. All I have is trust. And so the best I can do for you is to pray that you will learn to trust God. There's lots of times in life when we will not have certainty. But if we have trust, somehow we'll get there. All of us would like to have certainty. We would like to have a smooth and predictable life where everything goes as planned. Unfortunately, it seldom works out that way. Life has a way of becoming unpredictable and changing just when we're looking for stability. Yes, and sometimes God takes us on a journey without giving us clear direction as to exactly where we're going or where we might end up. I'm aware that some of you have gone through some turning points recently. some of your own choosing and some that were not of your own choosing. And yet they come, and life changes and takes us in a different direction. Some of you here this morning are probably in a place that you never thought you would be in, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Sometimes we just find ourselves going down a road and in a place that we never planned and we didn't think it's where we were going. And we hit a turning point in life and there it goes. And you've probably asked God on more than one occasion, how did this happen to me? How did this happen? How did I end up where I am? This is not what I had planned. What's the purpose for my life? Does it have a purpose? And where will I go from here? You're facing a turning point, and the way ahead may be unclear. Should I stay in this relationship or not? Should I stay with this job? Should I take that big assignment? Should I make that move? A lot of uncertainties, a lot of unclear things come along the way. Abraham thought life was pretty good at 75. He had his home, had all of his friends around him. Business was going well. He had his hired servants had been trained. The business was going well. Life is good at 75. Until one day God shows up and tells him it's time to move. I'm reminded of that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. We all love that scripture where God said to the prophet, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I love that scripture. I'm sure you did too. It's comforting to know that God has a plan for our life. It's comforting to know that with all the give and takes and the turns and twists of the roads, it's comforting to know that God does have a plan and a purpose for our life. But sometimes that comfort becomes a little shaken when God comes into the midst of it and says, it's time to move. Wait a minute, God, I know that you have a plan and I know that you're in charge, but I don't want to move right now. You know, have you ever been there? Yes, God, I want you to direct my life, but within certain boundaries. What we really want is God to just bless what it is we want to do and to tweak around the edges. But sometimes we have the saying, think outside of the box. God is the original person who thinks outside of the box. And just when you think life is all set and you're going down the road, God comes in sometimes saying, I have a plan for you. Yes, God, I want you to have a plan. But it involves a change. It involves a turning point in a direction that you had not planned. That's the real meaning of walking by faith. When Jesus visited James and John at their father's fishing business, he looked at them and he said to James and John, come and follow me. The scripture says, and immediately they left their nets and their father's business and followed Jesus. I've often looked at that and said, exactly how did that happen? I mean, what convinced them to do it? They were the hired help. They were the sons. It was their father's business to just pack up and leave the father in the boat. Now, Matthew doesn't record the conversation that took place, but what did they say to their father? What did their father say to them? This was the family business. They were the heart of the business. And Jesus looks at them and says, come and follow me. And immediately they left their nets and followed. The only thing that I can make of it is that behind the scenes, what's not recorded in Matthew is a conversation that took place not in words, but a conversation that took place on the inside as the Holy Spirit began to move within their hearts and begin to prepare them for this day. Did it happen all that day? Probably not. It probably began weeks, months, maybe years in advance of that meeting. If God has ever pursued you, and I know that he has because he does all of us, and we sang about it earlier. When God begins to speak down on the inside and creates a restlessness within us, creates a yearning within us, creates a desire within us, and ultimately creates a level of uncomfortableness within us. Sometimes God has to make us uncomfortable with who we are and with where we are in order to get us to be prepared to move to another place. And so I can only guess that the Holy Spirit had been working with James and John on the inside within their hearts to prepare them for this day. And so when Jesus came to them and said, "Come and follow me," they were ready because the Holy Spirit had already been working in that soil. When God makes you uneasy with who you are and where you are, there's a good chance that he's preparing you for a turning point. So let me ask you, where are you in your journey today? What turning points are you facing? What is God saying to you about your life? Are you perfectly happy and perfectly comfortable where you are? If you are, that's good. But don't be surprised if in the midst of your comfort and your easy life and everything is going as planned, don't be surprised if a turning point comes out of nowhere. Maybe of your planning, maybe not of your planning, maybe of your choice, maybe not of your choice, but turning points will come. The important thing for us as Christians is to know who's in charge. And who do we go to when those turning points face us unexpectedly? Do we know that it is God who guides our lives? It is God that creates turning points. It is God that gives us opportunities to move ahead. When God said to Abraham, "I've got this great plan for you. I'm going to bless you and make of you a great nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." But the first step is, I've got a move for you to take. When God calls, are you ready to follow and to trust him with the details? What's God doing in your life today? What do you want him to do with your life? You may be sitting in a place where you say, "I want that change. I need that change. I'm restless where I am, and I don't feel that I'm fulfilling God's greatest purpose for me." God may be preparing you for that turning point. If our worship team would come, if God is speaking to you today, we would love to pray with you, to talk with you, to help you in your journey, to help you search, to help you hear from God about what it is that he may be saying to you and preparing for your life. Be glad to pray with you. Pastor John is here also. Whoever you would like, if you would want to reach out to the person next to you or to someone else here and say, "Just pray with me. I'm trying to hear from God. I feel that God is leading me in this turning point." We would love to speak with you and to pray with you this morning. We have communion is offered here, so let us come and we'll worship God through music, through communion, and through prayer. Pastor Stan is also in the back, and Pastor John. Let us sing.